Threesome Podcast number 53. Wow. Yeah.
53, Lex. It's so big.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's 53 inches long.
Oh, get away. Get away.
Hi, I'm Stacy. Stacy. You're just a walking hole.
Yes.
Have you met my wife, Stacy?
I whistle when I walk.
Yeah, I feel sorry for people with oversized units, male or female. I really do. I was with this girl one time. It was the first woman I'd ever been with that had had a baby.
Ah.
And I was like,
can you tell a difference?
I was like, oh God. Go from high school girl to that? You're like, save me.
Aw.
You know, and I think now if a woman goes through a pretty dramatic pregnancy and down there that they can fix you up, right?
They could tighten things up, I believe.
Yes.
I think isn't that like kind of what the husband stitches?
Well, I don't know.
I think they, because, inevitably, if you're having natural childbirth, there is some ripping that mm-hmm. takes place. And I think when they are stitching her up after the big event, they will make sure things are taut.
Yeah, I recall not suffering greatly after Samantha being born.
Thank God for that tiny tubular head of hers, huh?
Yeah, and my, average at best penis that didn't just gorge her. So, anywho. Hey, speaking of penises.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the two gay dudes on The Bachelorette?
No.
Yeah, I saw it in the grocery store line. And then and Lisa, who's a religious viewer of it, had it on last night. And there's like these two dudes that are sweet on each other.
Now, are they contestants?
Yeah.
Amongst all of the women, there's two guys that are also vying for...
No, it's all dudes vying for one girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and these two are like sweet on each other, and... I was just wondering if you'd seen it, because I think it's a plant.
I would have to think anything on these fucking shows are. I'm so cynical.
You just have to see the episode I saw last night. I was like, yeah, that's... These guys are like all over this chick. They're like doing all these physical things against each other to get her affections. Boxing and sumo wrestling and all kinds of shit. And then all of a sudden they just kind of back off and get into each other. Come on. If they're true gays, 100% right on gay, they don't give a fuck about her ever.
Right.
So they would have been, I'm not sumo wrestling for that bitch. It's like, yeah, that's a gay person. That's the way it's done. She could be the hottest piece of ass on earth. To him, she's nothing. But
yeah.
those 25 delicious specimens that he came into contest with. That smorgasbord
of man meat.
Yeah. So, I just think they've found... two at least bi dudes and threw them in the mix, and now they're like all over each other.
Well, and I've never watched, because I just hate reality shows. I've never watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or anything. I mean, doesn't that kind of disqualify them?
Well, not yet. Right now they're acting like they're still in the mix so they can hang with each other.
Ah.
They're like, oh, yeah, Caitlin, we love you.
Notice how he's standing directly behind me.
You're the most beautiful girl we've ever seen. Oh, that hurts to say that.
I would have to assume they're probably bi.
Yeah, at the very least. But, of course, both these guys are like, you know, chiseled ab specimen that every guy on there is, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's total eye candy for you bitches. I get it.
Yeah, because there's not enough for you guys on TV.
No, there isn't.
Oh, I'm totally hijacking this, but have you heard? I'm sure you have. I'm so out of the loop. The TV show Banshee, have you watched this?
No.
Oh, my God. The first season is available for free on Amazon Prime, and I watched it this weekend. It is my all-time favorite TV show. I've never seen anything so exciting and so gory. The goriest fight scenes I have ever seen. This is including movies, anything. Banshee is fucking amazing.
All right, so what's the setting? I know it's an Amazon Prime show, which I don't have, so I don't have access to it.
It is a Cinemax show. It is... There's this guy, this hot guy, of course, and he has just been released from prison after 15 years. And you don't really know anything about him, but he ends up in this town. And within like the first couple minutes, he's like sitting at a bar. It's a small, small town called Banshee, Pennsylvania. And he's sitting there and these guys come in and there's an altercation. Now, sitting next to him was the town's new sheriff. The guy literally had just come into town that night. He was set to start Monday kind of thing. So literally this convict and the bartender are the only two human beings that know this sheriff is here. He ends up getting killed. And the convict and the bartender go out and bury the guy along with the two bad guys that the convict killed when this is all taking place. And he assumes the sheriff's identity. And so he now becomes the sheriff of this town. And it turns out that the woman of the love of his life also, and this is why he ended up in the town, he's looking for her. She's there. She's married to another guy, has two kids. And the reason why he ended up in prison was because they had done a diamond heist and he kind of sacrificed himself so that she wouldn't get caught. And she may or may not still have the diamonds, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I can't pronounce her name. It's Ivana Milosevic. She's one of the Bond girls. She was in Casino Royale. She's really hot, has this really like Eastern Bloc. Russian look to her. Just absolutely gorgeous. And it is such a gory, it is the most violent TV show. It's like Justified on acid, steroids, and with a little bit of, there's a little bit of the long kiss goodnight, because it turns out that she's like, you know, soccer mom with these two kids, but she's just a fucking badass. And there are scenes where these people just beat the shit out of each other for like 20 minutes. And there's just blood and body parts. And oh my God, it was so exciting. The finale for the first season, I was just like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen on TV.
No kidding.
Absolutely amazing. Yes. Banshee. Check it out if you have Amazon Prime. You have to pay for the second season, like per episode, which makes me mad.
Oh, just come off the money if it's that good of a fucking show.
I know. I'm thinking about it.
God, you pussy.
I know. It's that good.
What is it,
I haven't done that for True
a show?
Blood. It is something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come on. Jesus Christ.
I probably will.
Okay.
But definitely, if you can, Lex, oh my God, it's just amazing.
All right, I'll check it out. Great.
It is the darkest TV show I've ever seen, too. There are things that you just kind of go, oh my God.
I guess you haven't seen True Detective yet.
I haven't, but I'm going to be willing to guess this show might be up there with its darkness.
You need to see the first season of True Detective. It is clearly, in my opinion, the best produced, best written, best casted TV show ever. McConaughey and Woody Harrelson are so chemically fucking perfect in those roles. I mean, you know, McConaughey plays like this kind of stoic, weird, off-center type guy, and Woody Harrelson like just says what's ever on top of his mind. And and his wife's just smoking hot. And so is his wife's Michelle Moynihan. Is that her name?
Yeah. I think, no, isn't she? I'm thinking of someone else. Who is Tom Brady's first baby mama? That's Bridget. Moynihan, isn't it?
That's Bridget, yeah. Moynihan, okay. who's not hard to look at either. She's on Blue Bloods on TV, but what is this? What the fuck is that girl's name? I gotta look it up. But she's hot, but Woody Harrelson's cheating on her and doing this fucking stripper. And this chick's so hot. Oh my god. Just like one. The plot is so fucking twisted and so fucked up, I can't even explain it to you. But it's a murder mystery that goes kind of way back, and it takes them fucking forever to solve it.
Gotcha.
And it's just so fucking well written. Michelle, it's not Moynihan, it's Monahan.
Okay.
Monaghan. And gotcha. She's great in it. And she ends up fucking McConaughey.
Well, who wouldn't?
After Woody pissed her off. it's just all over. It's so dark, seedy, sexy, dirty, fucked up. It's, you know, it's everything you want in TV. It's a must see.
Banshee's got like the psychopath, like the unsettling psychopathy type stuff going on where you're just like, ew.
Oh, this one does too, except it's the good guys that are psychopaths. You know, that's the thing. These two guys are so off center, and so their own personal lives are a twisted fucking mess. You know, that's what makes it so interesting. I'm glad you said that, because it is. And this one, the good guys are the ones you're like, I don't know if I can turn. You know, their fellow cops are all like, keep their distance from both of them.
Yes,
yeah.
That's kind of Banshee,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at the sheriff going, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm glad you have to talk to them because we're not. And, of course, they do something kind of seedy or fucked up on the case, so they bring, like, IA in to talk to both of them, and both cops with each guy are just, like, shaking their heads and totally perplexed of what they're fucking dealing with, you know, because they're giving them nothing. And it's you just have to see it. I know you and you would love it.
Well, I forgot to mention, adding to the whole surreal quality of Banshee, this is like Pennsylvania Dutch territory, and so there is an Amish element amongst all of the creepy, fucked up, violent shit that's going on. There's the Amish, and it's like, oh my god, I just love this show.
who are extremely creepy people.
You have to see.
No, I watch a reality show about the Amish, and their ways are just fucked up.
Oh, is it the Amish Mafia show?
Yeah. And there's two different factions, ones that will use like modern day things and the others won't.
Right.
And I forget what they're called.
Also known as Mennonite.
Mennonite, thank you. Thank you, thank you. All I could think of was Menza.
We actually have a Mennonite store right here where I live. It's this amazing bulk store that you can go in, and because it's weirdly religious, but it's a grocery store.
Yeah.
There's like every weird baking thing that you can't ever find like at Walmart or any other big box store. You know, they have it because these are people that like bake everything, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll go there and just kind of walk up and down like the sprinkles aisle. It's like, how many fucking different types of sprinkles does a human being need? But it's just amazing. I love that store.
No, the Mennonites are very business opportunistic. You know?
Yes.
And
they're not afraid of electronics. They drive cars.
Yeah.
The women dress like they look like they're Amish. But, you know, and
but they drive, they drive cars and motorcycles and.
Yes. And they have electricity in their house and stuff.
You know, which.
There was.
Which is the way it should be. It's called progress.
Well, there was this woman I know was talking about this Amish guy who had been fixing up her house, because we've got Amish around here too. And you know, when you hire Amish to do stuff like that, because they live a distance away, you have to go pick them up. Otherwise, you know, it's going to take 3/4 of the day for them to come by horse.
Right.
So you go pick him up, you bring him here, and I guess he did this fabulous job. So she was always hiring him to do stuff, and he made furniture. This was like his job. But his family, his clan, whatever you would call them, would not let him get a telephone. And so what he was having to do, and he must have had very patient neighbors, his neighbors said that he could give out their phone number. And so if someone called looking for him, wanting to buy furniture or something, they would have to run over to his house and get him so he could use the phone. And he had asked the family if he could get a phone simply to conduct business, and they told him no. And so he and his family packed up and moved, I think, somewhere to Ohio or New York, where there were more progressive Amish, so
yeah,
that he could have a phone. And it's like, wow, to think that there's like kind of that weird infighting and politics in Amish country, you know?
Oh, it's real. it's you know, but it's funny, like the whole thing of the Amish mafia thing, that the guy that it really centers on is, you know, he's like the one guy they let go around in a car and have a phone and all that stuff to look out for their present day interest. You know, it's like they give up all their values for this one guy, and you know, he of course is completely taking advantage
sure
of it.
No one else is selling cheese curds down,
yeah,
at the grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the mafia thing's not about, like, you know, racketeering and all that stuff. It's the sex trade. It's like, we understand you're using our seeds to, you know, he's like Monsanto.
That's our corn.
Yeah, exactly. GMOs. But all right, but some good TV there. I will check that out. It sounds like a good show.
Oh, it's amazing.
I
love it.
Due to our recent podcast, I am kindled X-Files.
Good.
I'm on like episode 4. I laughed the other day because the one where the guy comes out of the vent was on.
Tombs, the liver-eating,
yeah,
guy,
yeah,
scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, Tombs.
Now, you know who that guy was.
Yeah, that's,
you know who he is?
The Courtney
Stodden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was the dickhead in Green Mile.
Percy.
Yeah, Percy, that's right. The little tattletale motherfucker.
Yes. Everyone has known that person at some point in their life, and you just want to throttle them.
Yeah. Bob at Publix.
The one you lemoned?
Oh, no. His name was Robbie. That was the assistant manager whose dad was, like, real high up in Publix. He went from, like, you know, out of college right into assistant manager, which isn't the way it's supposed to go. He was just a major douchebag. So, yeah, I lemoned him.
Good.
And
good for you.
Got fired for a week till the manager brought me back. Who took me upstairs and said, "Did you do it?" And I went, "Yeah." He goes,
just, "Okay, now blow me."
He goes, "I'm going to give you your job back." And I went, "Oh, thank you. I appreciate that." He goes, "Two things. You're going to go home for a week." He goes, "And you're going to sit right here and tell me exactly play by play how that happened." And I went, really? He goes, oh, yeah.
Well, I sit in a corner and masturbate while you tell me.
He hated this guy, too.
So how hard were you gripping the lemon? Did you have all your fingers right around it?
No, that was the strangest thing about it, was I grabbed it. I saw him standing down there, and I just threw it to fuck with him. And this thing stays like a fucking inch off the ceiling all the way down the hallway, right geometrically in the middle of the hallway, you know, not going near a wall or anything. And Right. Boom! I couldn't do it again if I wanted. You could have given me 300 shots at it. That wasn't going to happen. But on my first try, I was just like, you know, it was one of those things, as soon as it left my arm, I went, oh, fuck, this is bad.
Yeah, you knew as it's leaving your fingers that it was dead on as soon as you did it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a putt in golf. You know, when you're like putting well in golf, you know, as soon as it comes off the putter, you're like, oh, fuck, that's in. You know, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, God, that's going to fucking hit him in the head. I think I'll go up front. You know,
I'm gone.
And I get like 5 steps behind the wall towards the door out into the store, and I hear, oh! I went, oh,
there's that little Jetsons cloud of your shape where you just got boom.
Yeah, and it was before in-store cameras and stuff like that. So, you know, I just went up front and started bagging. And, you know, we end up in the back afterwards. And, you know, he made everybody stick their hands out. And he's, like, smelling everybody's hands. You know,
That's so gross.
To see if they smell like lemons. And he gets to me, and of course they do, because I just took 300 of them off the floor. And he goes, well, it seems like I have my man. He goes, your hands smell like lemon. And I went, thank you. He goes, I got hit in the head with a lemon. And I went, who would do such a thing?
Those bastards.
He says, I'm going to fire you for one of two reasons. For vacating your produce station, you know, like it's the fucking Enterprise Bridge or something, you know. like the store can't function, you know. Well, you know, we can't buy these fruits and vegetables. There isn't a guy standing here.
And, yes, Captain. And, yeah. Say it.
Yes, Captain.
Yes.
Scotty.
I love you.
Why are the lemons gone? I don't know, Captain. Captain, it'd be logical to think that somebody was here to throw the lemon if it hit the man in his cranium. Yes, Spock. I concur. Yeah, but he's like smelling my hands. He goes, your hands smell like lemon. I said, well, I work in produce.
And then there was that long, awkward moment when you feel his tongue just slide gently up your finger, back down the other side, and then just linger right between your two fingers right there.
I really don't remember. I was just scared of losing my job.
Please lick more.
Yeah. Take your time, and maybe you'll get past this. I don't know. But... So, that's it. So he fires me. I go upstairs, and while I'm up there clearing out my locker and everything, that's when the manager came up and he said, yeah, listen, we'll get past this. You know, he goes, take a week off. And he says, you know, take a week off. And he goes, and you must sit right here and tell me exactly what happened. And we're like laughing, and I went, okay. I was pulling lemons off the shelf, and I looked down the hall, and he was standing there with a clipboard in his hand, standing over a pallet. I picked it up, and I was just going to throw it down the hall to have it go at his feet or something, you know, just because I just wanted to be a dick. And he goes, yeah. And I said,
it's like, keep going, I'm not done yet.
I said, so I released it, and it hit him in the head. And I knew it was going to hit him in the head as soon as I threw it. So I ran up front and started bagging groceries. He goes, that's a good move. He goes, because he really never really did see you throw it. So that's what I'm going to tell him, that you can't fire him because you don't know you did it for sure. And I'm like, yeah, right? after I just confessed, you know. He's like, I'm like, yeah, right? He doesn't know it through the fucking thing, right? Yeah. And so I came back to work, and like everything was real icy with him. He says, you're going to be on wax duty Saturday night. And I'm like, okay. Because they wax the floors every Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
I thought it was more weird public sex stuff.
So everybody was on wax duty because it's a big fucking store. So I was, you know, it's like he's like telling me what I already know. So I went, yes, yes, sir. Okay. And he was just like, he'd stand at the end of the aisle and go, go back and do that again and straighten the borderline. I'm like, okay. Yeah, he was an ass. And then apparently he got like in trouble and demoted to some shitty store up in Fernandina Beach, and I was up there on vacation. This was like when Lex and Terry was 4 or 5 years old. And I go in there, and it's like everybody in the store knows who I am. And I see him standing in the corner, like, avoiding me. And that's when I went over and said, it was me that hit you in the head with a lemon.
Oh. Nice. Just twist that knife completely.
Yeah.
And look at me, I've got my own popular radio show.
Yeah. He goes, I know it was. And I went, well, I just wanted you to make sure. I said, because I know Mr. Moore came back and told you you can't fire me because you don't know for sure, but now you do.
And now you can fire me. Oops.
I said, and by the way, you know, since he's had a unceremonial death, you know, I'll just go ahead and tell you he was all about it.
Nice.
Not only was he all about it, but he wanted to hear every gory detail, every second of my conspiring to do it, my execution of said event, and the aftermath.
Later that day, as he went and visited his therapist, he was like, that bastard's held me back my whole life.
Yeah. I'm like, but anyway, enjoy Fernandina. I'll see you later.
Yes.
Such an ass.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out for you, Lex.
Yeah.
Even right down to be able to, you know, have your revenge years later. It's sort of like you're the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah, I don't really know that story.
Oh, you should, because you like your revenge. It's a good, good revenge story.
I don't really like my revenge. It's not entirely true, but there's some people that just fucking deserve it.
I know you. I know that at least once in your life, you have, in a daydream state, plotted out point by point how to murder someone. I know you have. And how not to get caught and how to get away with it. I know you've done this.
I completely deny being in a daydream state. I was completely lucid and knew exactly what I was doing. That same lucidity that talked me out of doing it.
Yes. The voice of reason, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm afraid it makes me sound petty, but more than once.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes then you feel bad because you're sitting there and you realize how deeply you've gone into the details of it. You know, like, well, I couldn't do this because someone might see from over there. And then you go, oh, my God, I'm really doing this. Ew, I've creeped myself out and, you know, walk away from it. Walk away.
I had a really good friend that was a chick that I worked with when I was in Los Angeles. And she married this guy that went south on her and was, you know, everybody was telling me that they were hitting her, that he was hitting her and stuff like that. And, you know, they didn't know what to do about it. And I may have told somebody a good way to make it happen. It didn't happen, but I think my idea was brilliant. There's a lot of big canyons out there.
Yeah.
But yeah. It, ultimately, she came to her senses and grabbed the kids and left. But oh my God. This is like one of the sweetest people I ever met in my life, you know, who didn't like confrontations and arguments. And, you know, this right. guy was just, you know, doing nightly beatings on her. It's like, you know, and being real slick about it. One of those guys you see somewhere and he's like, hey, man, what's up? How's it going? You know, how's it? And you're just like, you know.
I'll only hit her where her long sleeves will hide everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, and she went through a whole divorce and stalking and all kinds of stuff. And ultimately, he found somebody else to terrorize and moved on. But what a
yeah, because that doesn't stop, you know.
No.
That doesn't happen like with just one person. It's not like, well, she the bitch brought the worst out in me. I'll never do it again.
Oh no,
bullshit.
If you're like that, you're like that.
Yeah.
This guy was a woman hating mofo. Needed the pussy, but that's all he needed. He didn't need the attitude or the female, you know, connectivity or anything else. He just, I think. You know, he just wanted to be married and make little psycho kids. You know,
to
carry
people...
on the greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've met those people, the guys, you know, that just despise everything about women, femaleness.
Yeah.
You know. They perceive women as weak and I don't know. It's just like, wow, you just,
it's like, why don't you just get hookers if you need pussy and save yourself the trouble of getting aggravated every night. If you don't like them, you don't like them. If you sexually need them, pay for one.
She leaves.
She doesn't sit around and nag you. She, you know, you fill her up with sperm and she leaves.
I honestly don't know if I would even, I mean, I realize hookers know the dangers of the job, but I would actually almost fear for them worse because at that point he thinks he has nothing to lose with a hooker.
Yeah, or that he paid for it like it's a possession.
Yes. So he can do whatever he wants. I think it was Dave Attell had the greatest line ever, which was, aspirin will not bring a dead hooker back to life.
I love him. He's been on the show so many times. Yeah. Well, it's true, it won't.
No.
So anyway, that's about it. We're going to gonna wrap things up.
Number 53.
Yeah. Both podcasts, for people that don't know, sometimes we record a couple at a time. We're fun today, Stacy.
I know. We actually like each other today.
Yeah. I like you.
The long weekend paid off.
I like you. I like you regardless. Even when you're being a bitch with a capital C.
Well, that would just be silly. Shouldn't it be the first letter in the word, Lex?
Nope.
Blink, 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 blink. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nope, I don't think so.
Yeah. Threesomepodcast.com, folks. That's our little website. You can catch all 53 episodes. Lex hasn't deleted anything yet. So if you're coming a little late to the party, you can hear old ones if
I don't,
you want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I don't think we have to delete till the... It's either the 70th or 90th episode. I'm not sure which. I'll find out. But at that point, we run out of storage and have to mosey on.
You can actually download them directly to your like computer if you want to. So
yeah.
If hearing that and knowing that we're like just zipping through episodes now because we're doing them three times a week, go and start downloading them so you have them for always.
Yes. Because those first ones are fun.
In a really awful, terrible way.
Yes. We have gotten a lot more polished and better at this, I will admit. So, yes. Oh, and by the way, Stacy, before we say goodbye, I got us a special guest for one of our podcasts.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Am I going to enjoy this or not?
You're gonna so enjoy it. Producer Scott is going to join us for one of our episodes. Talked to him last night.
Fun.
Yeah, talked to him last night, and he wants to come on and talk old times. So we'll definitely have some fun there.
Yes.
He goes, do I have to edit myself? I went, nope.
Tell him to bring a soundboard, though.
It's like, no, you archaic fuck. It's a podcast.
Doesn't he?
I
do
said. Besides, you weren't
Pete
that good at it anyway.
Scott was without a doubt a master of like the sound effects and knowing his timing was impeccable.
Oh, Scott, in my opinion, when he was with the show, was the funniest guy on it. In a way that nobody else could be that kind of funny, but his kind of funny was funny.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, my favorite was when we were doing the story about the bassist from Loverboy drowning. He's playing the beginning of, was it Turn Me Loose? Which one has the big bass riff at the beginning?
Yeah.
The Loverboy song. And he's got bubbles playing.
No, that was actually me. The bubbles. Remember me? I was the bubbles guy, JFK Jr. Yeah. Any drownings were my responsibility. But
and then just weeks later, Mike Reno came in.
Yeah.
It was awkward.
No, remember, you did some story about, I don't know if it was Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman or whatever, but it was some engagement that was taking a long time, and she was talking about needing a ring, you know, or something's going to have to happen soon. It was some famous couple, you know, some famous douchey couple. And she's like, I'm going to, and it was a soundbite, and she's like, I'm going to need a ring soon. And she giggled, and right after I hear, I want a rock! I mean, it was like right on, it was like right there, you know. Was, I want a rock. So yeah, I will line it up. We may have to do an evening show to do it.
Okay.
But if that's okay with you, we will. And
of course, anything for Scott.
Yeah. And we'll get Scott in on this, and we'll have some fun.
Yes, then it will be truly a threesome.
Yeah, I figured you'd like
that.
It'll
be a foursome. Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm dewy with anticipation.
All right, good. Love to hear that. Love it when you're dewy. In the meantime, let's get out of here, and we'll see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.